God's been good to you. Say amen.
Amen.
Glad to be on this side of life. Say amen.
Amen.
Glad that we have a Lord who's in the business of fixing us. And I'm glad that he doesn't wait to start fixing us, but he begins even right now. I'm an advocate of saying that I'm in repair. Amen. I already know that I need him long before I can articulate what the trouble is, because sometimes I may be the trouble myself, but we serve an awesome God. Isn't God a good God? Aren't you glad that he loves you? And if he's done anything for you, say hallelujah. He's an awesome God. He's the kind of God that can constantly take us in our brokenness and still get glory from us. He's an awesome God. He's the kind of God that can bless our homes to be a demonstration of Jesus in the communities we live in. He's an awesome God. He's the kind of God who can baffle doctors, make them question whether or not they really have the degree. He's an awesome God. He's the kind of God that can make our children grow up to be successful, benevolent individuals in our world. He's an awesome God. He's the kind of God that can mend a marriage because he's an awesome God. He's the kind of God that can allow you to stay clean and sober all the days of your life because he's an awesome God. He's the kind of God that can allow our single sisters to not lower their standards. He's an awesome God. He's the kind of God that can make our single men rise to the occasion. He's an awesome God. He's the kind of God that I love to serve. Isn't he a good God? Aren't you glad he's your God? Aren't you glad you can call him Father? And he hears you like he is or like we are his children. He's an awesome God. So good to us that he gave us his spirit, because he knew we couldn't make it here on our own. He's an awesome God. Every now and then I just have to stop and say he's awesome. Amen. Because if I'm not careful, I will actually believe that my existence has something to do with me. Have you ever been guilty of that? Have you ever forgotten the fact that it's God who gives you every breath that you take? It's God that allows you to be able to mentally understand what's going on in this world. It's God that allows you to stand to your feet and put one foot in front of the other. It's God that allows you to recognize that you're still alive. That's God that does that. He is an awesome God. And I'm glad to be his child. I don't want to hold you longer than I have to. I've got a word, amen. And I want to share this word with you. I want to continue to remind us that we are building on our overall theme. What's our overall theme, church? First things first. And this month, we are looking at kingdom relationships. And the reason why we're doing that is we really want to spend some time, especially these last 2 weeks in the month of May going into June, looking at the family in a more intentional way. We've spent a great deal of time talking about family, but talking about family with respect to the need for love. Did you learn anything about love? Amen. We spent a lot of time talking about what love is and what love is not. We know, we've studied, the love isn't easy. Amen. And love has little to do with a sweet feeling. Amen. Has little to do with romantic music. Say amen. Has little to do with candlelit dinners. Amen. Love is a choice. Love is aggressive. Love is it takes work in order to demonstrate and show love. And at the same time, when we do, we look like King Jesus. And I want to spend some time now going back to the beginning. And the lesson for today, if you're a note taker, the title of the lesson is The First Family. The first family. And we're gonna spend some time going back, looking at the family I know that the scripture that was read was out of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 31. But whenever you study a passage, we may spend some time in Ephesians, but whenever you study a passage, when you practice good hermeneutics, there's something that you want to remember called the law of first mention. And in order to appreciate the significance of a passage and the significance of a text, you have to go back to where it was first mentioned. And the family is first mentioned in the book of Genesis. And so we're going to go back to the book of Genesis and do justice in examining the family. Now, let me tell you why. Because the world we live in now, the society we live in, the reality that we are in, we are in a deficit when it comes to good families. Say amen now. We know that there are all kinds of families, all kinds of situations that are inundating and bombarding our world. We need good model families within the church. We need good model families in the community. We need good model families for our young people. We need good model families for the world. Why? Because the world needs a picture of what family is supposed to look like. Amen. The world needs a picture of what a husband, say amen, amen, is supposed to look like. The world needs a picture of what a wife is supposed to look like. And the only way we can get that model, the only way we can get an authentic picture of what it's supposed to look like is by going back to the Bible. And if we can let God talk and stop listening to the wrong sources. Oprah knows nothing about family. I'm waiting on the balcony to say amen. I said Oprah knows nothing about family. Amen. Amen. What's his name? Maury Povich knows nothing about family. Y'all didn't say amen to that. He knows nothing about family. Tyra, she don't know nothing about family. Jerry Springer, Lord knows. He don't know nothing about family. Amen. Boo-boo down the street, he don't know nothing about family. Willie and his cousins, they don't know either. The only way we can get a good picture of what family looks like is by going back to the Bible and looking at it. And from the book of Genesis, we'll see. And I know we're familiar with this story, but I want to challenge you. Can I challenge you on today to look at the story from a fresh perspective? Look at it as if you have never looked at it before. And the way we're going to call the lesson the first family, but we're going to look at the family in 3D. In 3D. And what I mean by 3D, Lord of mercy, what I mean by 3D is we're going to look at it in three perspectives. You know, when you watch a movie in 3D, when you go into the theater, usually you get one dimension for how that movie is shown to you. You sit in and you got the screen coming at you, but then when you watch it in 3D, you got to put them funny glasses on. Amen. Y'all with me? Have you ever seen a 3D movie? Well, y'all talk to me and I can get you to this chicken sooner now. When you watch a movie in 3D, you know you put the glasses on and the things that you normally see, they don't pop out at you like with 3D. When you watch a movie with 3D, you see the image, but you see it as if it's right in your face. And if you're not careful, you know it's on the screen, but you'll be dodging and ducking and stuff. Y'all don't want to admit that it got you. Amen. But you know, a good 3D movie will come at you and the imagery will shock you. Well, I want to do the same thing in this passage. And I'm going to give you this. I want to look at it from the perspective, number one, of Moses. All right, we're going to do that this week. And then if we have time, we're going to look at it from the perspective of Adam. So we're going to look at it, first of all, from the author's perspective. That's Moses. Then we're going to look at it from the subject's perspective. That's Adam. But then we're going to come back at it and look at it from the reader's perspective. That's us. Are y'all with me? And in doing that, we can get not only an understanding of what family looks like, but it will bless us to make application in a way to where we can become the family that God intended. Anybody that need help with your family, say amen. Amen.
Those of y'all that's lying, we're going to get you a card in a little while. Amen. We all need family. We need to tighten up. We need to demonstrate the authentic first picture of the family, because it's from that family that God himself was directly involved in developing that family. And if God can be directly involved in developing our families, God will say about our family what he said about that family. And you remember when God made that family, he said, it is good. We want a picture. We want God to look at our families, God, to look at the husband and the wife and the children, and to be able to say to the divine community that this family is good. We want the world to be able to see what the model looks like, because we live in a broken society. Because man is fallen, our society is fallen. And if we keep looking for society to give us the proper picture, we're going to miss it every single time. You cannot look at a sin-sick model and expect to get a good picture. It doesn't work. We've got to go back to that which is not flawed, that which has no broken, that which is a brokenness, that which is not plagued as yet, and see what God would have it to see. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because when you consider how Moses writes, come on and go with me now. The way Moses' perspective, I'm going to give you the points, and then we're going to flesh it out. Moses' perspective as he writes in Genesis, Moses writes with a perspective of defense, number one. A perspective of defense. But then number two, he writes with a perspective of design. And then number three, he gives us a perspective of destiny. Those three things. A perspective of defense, a perspective of design, and a perspective of destiny. And it makes sense when you consider how Moses is writing. You've got to go back. You remember that when Moses writes the book of Genesis, he writes it to a group of individuals who had just been liberated from Egyptian bondage. Y'all, come on now. The audience of the text, those that will receive the word of God first, are those that have just been brought out of Egyptian bondage. They've been brought out of Egyptian bondage, and that 400 plus years while they were in Egyptian bondage, they've got all kinds of stories as to how the world began. They were in a place where Pharaoh made them believe that there were many gods. Are y'all with me? They were in a place where Pharaoh had them believing in a Nile god and a sun god and a beetle god and a mountain god. They needed to hear that there is just one God. They needed to know from Moses' perspective, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Are y'all seeing this? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Y'all with me? They needed to get that, and they needed to understand that, because if we're not, and like them, if we're not careful, we will go back and try to learn how to be a father, learn how to be a mother, learn how to be a child from an Egyptian-like model. Y'all ain't in here. Our tendencies right now is that we go back and we reflect on a frame of reference that we believe is right. The problem is our frame of reference comes from a sin sabotage, sin sick model. Y'all might as well say amen. Mama and daddy and big mama and big mama. I don't know if you call her big mama, a great grandma. Y'all with me? They all got what they got from a model that was handed down, which is why our society is so broken right now. Why do you think that our young men believe that manhood is the sum total of how many women you sleep with? Y'all gonna come to church yet at all? Why do you believe that our young women will settle for somebody who doesn't have a job? Come on and say amen. Who doesn't have any ambition, who doesn't have a drive for going further. They'll just settle for the first somebody who says, girl, you look so good. You are so sweet. I love you. And if I had you, we could do things. Why will they settle? Why will they settle for that? Why would we end up being in a function where men beat their wives? Y'all, come on to church now. Why would we settle for a model where women dominate and women talk bad to their husbands and emasculate their husbands? Y'all, come on and say amen. Why would we settle for that model? The reason why is because those things have been handed down. We're simply doing what's been handed down year after year, generation after generation, and nobody stopped to ask, is this the way it's supposed to be? But in order for us to get a good model on what it looks like, in order for us to understand what relationship is supposed to look like, in order for us to see what's going on and how it's supposed to be, we've got to get the picture right from the Word of God. And we want to get it from Moses' perspective first. And as Moses writes, watch this. Moses writes from the perspective, number one, of defense. Moses, what are you defending? He's defending, number one, the fact that what God gave us, the way God gives us what he gave us is in response. Moses writes in Genesis, he basically gives us a polemic, a treatise. I'm giving you two big words and then I'm going to give you the easy one. An argument. Amen. On what God really would have the world to be. Now, Moses, why are you giving an argument on God's behalf? Well, the reason why he has to give an argument on God's behalf is because they've been over in Egyptian bondage. Are y'all seeing this? And he's got to clear up what they learned over there. Church, I know we haven't been over in Egypt, but God still has to clear up some of the broken stuff that we've learned. Y'all come on and say amen now. God has to clear it up. He has to clear it up for us. And we need to know, especially, that we live in a world right now, the agenda of the world. There are so many agendas that come against family that are assaulting, that are insulting, that are sabotaging, that are breaking what family looks like. If we don't know it, how in the world can we defend against it? One of the agendas, the number one agenda that you need to be aware of in our world is that we live in a world where the atheist agenda is being promoted all day long. You understand what I mean by atheist? I mean, when an individual is promoting this idea of atheism, they are suggesting that there is not a God. They are suggesting that there is no God, and they go so far as to say that you and I who believe in God are foolish because we do. They would suggest that the only way and the only reason that an individual would believe that there is a God is because they are weak-minded and they have bought into fantasy. They have bought into mythology. They have bought into a fairy tale because they didn't have enough aptitude to know that God exists. Are y'all seeing this? That's that atheism agenda. And let me share something with you. What atheism has done is it has spawned some children that are right now permeating our world. They are all over the place, and we don't even realize how prominent it is. One of those children is humanism. See, secular humanism, y'all, can we go to school for a little bit? Y'all gonna help me? Humanism, secular humanism is this thought that man has the ability to govern over themselves. They have the ability to arrive at the right conclusion. Humanism suggests that you and I are intelligent enough to not only watch over our own lives, but that you and I will always arrive at the right conclusion if you give man time long enough, or give man a long enough time. But what humanism does subtly, y'all got to watch this. What humanism also does is it ends up deifying men. It ends up making man their own gods. Because if you leave us to ourselves, we become our own God. Are y'all with me? And we cannot be the kind of individuals who buy into a humanistic belief. But see, not only that, not only do you have humanism that's permeating the world and infecting the world, but you've got relativism. Y'all gonna take notes? Just say amen if you, amen. Relativism. What do you mean by relativism? I mean this. Relativism is the thought that you have your truth. I got my truth. I'm not going to bother your truth. You don't bother my truth. If it's true for you, it's true for you. But if it's true for me, it's true for me. So don't bother my truth. These thoughts are everywhere. Church, I'm trying to help you to see this. When you get to a place where an individual wants to set up their definition of family separate and apart from God's definition of family, it comes from a philosophy that God did not give. Hold on. Let me give you one more. Y'all go ahead and get to school. Number three, underneath that, is existentialism. Mm-hmm. Just say amen. Existentialism. What do you mean by existentialism? Existentialism is that thought. It's the understanding that you are waiting for the experience to validate what you do. Please be careful with this. part of why we have individuals that are strung out on sexual addiction is because of the experience. Y'all don't want to say amen or nothing right now. Mm-hmm. The experience, the feeling or the experience is what validates it to be true. I know that he loves me. I know that she loves me because I just feel so good when I'm with them. Oh, y'all, come on. Some of us have bought into it ourselves, where the feeling is the validation for what's true. But God has never worked on your feelings or through your feelings. God is an objective God. God is a fact God. God says, I'll give you the truth, and the feelings come after. Amen. Let me give you this other child. And then finally you have agnosticism. Now see, agnosticism, break it up and you'll understand it. The A means without or cannot. And then Gnosticism means knowledge. And it basically means the man is without the knowledge of knowing God. Are y'all with me? And all of these philosophies, all of these are agendas that are coming against the family. Church, please own this. We've got to be aware that these things are infecting and inundating and bombarding and fighting against our young people. Say amen. It's in our schools. It's on the television. It's in our neighborhoods. It's everywhere you look. These philosophies are having their way. And if we are not aware, we'll be duped by them and believe that it's truth. The Bible says in Colossians, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world, after the traditions of men, and not after Christ. Are y'all with me? We must be aware of all of these things that are permeating our world. If you don't know that they're there, they will dupe you. They will take advantage of you. They will sabotage you. And the next thing you know, you will be living your faith. You'll be living a model that did not come from God, but came from one of these philosophies. Watch, wait a minute, because I'm showing you that these agendas build on themselves. That's the first agenda, that atheistic agenda. But then right after that, you find that this atheistic agenda sets the stage for an unnatural agenda. Mm-hmm. Buckle your seatbelts. This unnatural agenda is the thought that says that I don't have to worry about doing things like the Bible does things. In fact, I'm going to do whatever feels good to me. I'm gonna allow my passion to go wherever it wants to go. I'm going to do it because God gave me the feeling. You hear phrases like this: I was born this way. Come on and say amen. God made me to believe these things. You find individuals who have masculine or male genitalia who look more, act more like, walk more like a woman than they do a man. Is anybody in the house? You have women who are female but look more, act more like, function more like a man than they do. Y'all ain't gonna say amen to nothing. Than they do a woman. And what God is sharing with you is that he did not give you that design. Yeah, I knew this point right here was going to be kind of rough. But good thing is, I've got Bible. Turn in your Bibles to Romans. Turn in your Bibles to Romans. I got to show you this because we've got to be aware. We've got to be careful of these unnatural agendas. What do you mean by unnatural agenda? Can I go ahead and say it, church? Y'all gonna stay in here with me? Can I go ahead and say it? The homosexual agenda is at your door. It's at your door. It's knocking on your door right now. And we must be aware of the homosexual agenda. What do you mean by the homosexual agenda? See, when you and I live in a world where we are comfortable watching television shows that have these little homosexual individuals all on them and little boys sucking their teeth, acting like, amen, walking around, oh, Lord of mercy, sucking their teeth, acting like little girls and stuff like that, and never being given a model of what a man looks like. Why y'all getting so uncomfortable? We have to be aware, because if not, you will end up fostering a mentality of that that's the way men's supposed to be, and it's not true. God says, and you've got to own it, God says, but number one, you've got to say, I believe in God. If that's true, say it with me. I believe in God. Now, if you believe in God, then we've got to accept God's word over humanism. You've got to accept God's word over how you feel. You've got to accept God's word over the lie of the devil. God made man to be a man. Oh, yes, he did. God made women to be women. He never made a man to act like a woman. He didn't make a woman to act like a man. Are y'all with me at all? God gave clear distinction. He said, you are without excuse. I gave it to you. Romans chapter 1. Are y'all there? Wait for me. Wait for me. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter. Oh, man, Brother Booker. I wish Brother Booker was here. Romans chapter 1. Somebody want to take Brother Booker's place? That printer's to smile. No, that's all right. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Brother Sam, come on, Sam. Come on, Sam. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18. Verse number 17. Mm-mm. Verse number 16. Verse number 16. It got good to me. Verse number 16. Go ahead. Come on, read.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Mm-hmm. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek.
Stop. I got to give this to you. Listen, I know that we run to this passage and we talk about the gospel. And we are solely bent on it being for the saving of our souls. But you got to understand that God is interested in saving more than your soul. Hello? We are trichotomy. We are triune beings. Are y'all with me? Body, soul, and spirit. God wants to save your soul, true enough. But he wants to save the influence, the spirit by which you function. And God wants to save your body. Hear me on this. Your body has a spirit as well. Your body has an influence as well. And you've got to be aware. I believe that was probably, I'm not going to say it, but y'all think that was the enemy? That whole thing right there? Because I was in my flow. I was in my, your body. I did the little step and everything up in my body. Anyway, we have an influence from our bodies. Your body will talk to you. Say amen now. Your body will lead you if you let it. Your body will move you if you let it. Y'all might as well say amen. We get cravings. We get, ain't no man gonna help me at all. We get feelings. We get drives that will move us. Uh-huh. Women have emotions and their bodies speak to them. No women gonna help me at all. Your bodies will talk to you. Now, if you're not careful, you will let your body direct you. You will let your body influence you, and it will get you into trouble that takes forever to get out of. Are y'all with me? So we've got to be careful that we don't let the wrong thing direct us. And we've got to understand that when God saves you, he's not just saving your soul. He wants to save your body as well. He wants to get the junk that you have habitually built up in your body out of you. But he mortifies your body through the word of God. He kills the flesh through the word of God. And we've got to learn, and I'm trying to help these young people who have never gotten into this trouble. If you have never done drugs, don't start doing drugs. You ain't ever done a line of cocaine, don't you start doing cocaine. You ain't ever got drunk, don't you get drunk. Stay away from this stuff. Are y'all with me? Because those things will speak to you. Those things will lead you. Those things will guide you. If you are not sexually active, don't start. And if you are and you ain't married, stop it. Oh, Lord of mercy. Because those things will speak to you. Those things will wake you up. You'll find yourself intoxicated by the feeling that your body generates all by itself. I'm trying to help you now. And it will take you years to get over some stuff that if you never walked into it, you would be preserved from it right now. You'll be married and be given to one woman thinking about somebody else. I'm trying to help somebody now. God wants us to walk in such a way to where we guide our lives from the pattern of Scripture. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the power of God revealed from faith unto faith. Verse 17, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Give verse 18 for me. Read.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
Now watch this now. Watch. Because Paul is getting ready. He's getting ready to explain some things. Because the Greek mentality is such where they say God wasn't present. Are y'all with me? God wasn't there. There's no evidence that God was directing man to function this way. Are y'all with me? Paul is getting ready to dismiss that thought. And today we hear it differently. Today we hear that we are genetically made or inclined to function one way or the other. Paul says that's not true. Are y'all with me? We hear individuals who will buy into the lie and say that God made them that way. And that's not true. Watch Paul unpack the text. Go ahead and read.
Because what may be known of God is manifest in them.
Yeah.
For God has shown it to them.
Yeah.
For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his internal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
They're without what?
Excuse.
They're without what, church?
Excuse.
Watch what he says. God has given you the evidence of his existence by creation itself. Animals function naturally according to creation. Mankind function naturally according to creation. Compatibility is naturally evidenced according to creation. Y'all gonna say amen? All of these things are laid out by the world itself. The evidence of the flawless design of God is seen in the creation of the world. You will never see that which is unnatural occurring with creation. And God says, since I've given you all of this evidence, you are without excuse. Are y'all seeing this? Watch. Come on, keep reading. Gets good at reading.
Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God.
Read.
Nor were thankful, but because futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened.
Wait a minute now. Now watch him. He's going to explain the problem. The problem is it wasn't with God. He said because when they knew him, are y'all seeing this? They didn't glorify him as God. When you don't own God as being your creator, you will own something else as being the power. Oh, say amen now. Whenever you move God out of the first place, you will give that authority to something or someone else. And when you do it, your imagination, your mind, your thinking becomes darkened. Illumination, the right light, the guidance of God is in you reverencing him as God. When you stop reverencing God, you will let your imagination, you will let your mind, you will let your body, you will let your carnal being take complete control. God's trying to help us stop buying into the flesh and buy into God. Come on, keep reading.
Professing to be wise, they became fools.
Yes, they did. Read.
And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible.
Read.
Corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things.
Read.
Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves.
Let me stop you. Because watch this. In 23 and 24, you see something that's really important here. In 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's humanism. Are y'all seeing this? Humanism says, you leave us alone, we'll get the right conclusion. But God says, the moment you say you got it, you've walked into foolishness. And when you walk into that foolishness, you will give up on everything else. You'll start worshiping the created, the creature, rather than the creator. You'll start falling into the same capability as everything else. And when you do it, God says, when you stop wanting to follow me, when you give up on me, I'm going to let you follow who you want to follow. Y'all don't miss this. God gives you the choice. He lets you have the choice on what you will follow. If you follow after the reprobate and you go hard after the reprobate, God says, I'm going to let you go. You chose, and when you choose, you reap what you sow. Every time. Every time. So watch. Don't blame God. Don't try to say, God, you gave this to me. You made me like this. This sickness came from you. No, God says, I told you. I gave you passion, but I put passion in a box. Oh, Lord of mercy. I put it in parameters. I made it controllable. I made your sex drive controllable if you put it under me. You move it from me, you won't have control. You move that thing from me, not only will you be out of bounds with what you start wanting, but what you start wanting will become unnatural. Oh, y'all, come on in here. You've got to recognize that you feed the beast, and the beast will evolve into a different beast. See, we get nervous. Watch, we get nervous over the wrong stuff. We start thinking that unnatural sexuality is different from anything else. It's the same thing. Whatever you feed and you move beyond the borders of what God says will become unnatural. Doesn't matter what it is. Look, come on, y'all, keep reading with me. Where do we stop?
24, so 25.
25.
Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who was blessed forever.
Read.
Amen. For the reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against
nature. I got to do it. 26, watch. He gave them up for vile passion. Are y'all seeing this? Vile affection. Look, the way he describes that passion, the way he describes that affection is not God gave you. Don't miss this. God gave you passion. Husbands, say amen.
Amen.
Wives, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord of mercy. God gave you a sex drive. Why y'all so scared? Every time I say sex, it's like y'all check out and leave the room. Oh, my goodness. He's talking about that thing. God gave it to you. Sex is a good thing when it's under the confines of God. God gave you the sex drive. Are y'all with me? But when your sex drive goes beyond the rule and realm of what God calls warranted, natural, or right, that thing becomes ugly. Oh, come on. Watch what he says. He changed, or they changed it. They followed after their vile affection. Then watch what he says. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Are y'all seeing this? Get 27 for me. Come on, read.
Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the women burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due.
Wait a minute, because here's your argument. Here's your argument. The argument is what's natural is that men are with women. Y'all ain't gonna even say amen to that? That's what's natural. Men are with what? And what's natural is that the women are with what? That's what's natural. That's what God gave you naturally. And y'all already know it's implied because I'm the preacher and this is the Lord's church that you need to do those things married. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Married. Get married and God says have all the natural. Amen. But when it's what's unnatural is when that affection moves beyond. Are y'all with me? Moves beyond what God gave. And when it goes beyond what God gave, that passion will move in such a way to where when you feed it, when you allow the reprobate to get out of control, what's natural won't be enough. You'll move from natural to unnatural. Y'all still don't see this. Natural to unnatural. And from unnatural, you'll give up the natural use for that which is shameful. See, we don't even want to talk about what comes after homosexuality. But it's the same disease. It's the same sickness. Are y'all seeing this? It's the same problem. And that's the agenda that comes against us. God did not design man and woman that way. You fed that beast. Wait a minute. Because you follow a teaching. Amen. You set a child in an environment where they are susceptible to homosexual influences. Are y'all with me? They see literature of homosexual influences. They watch television with homosexual teachers. They go to school where the teacher's promulgating homosexuality. You are feeding that agenda. Are y'all with me? And when there's nothing that corrects, nothing that sets them back to what is natural, they begin to be prone to what is unnatural.
Amen.
These things are attacking the family. And we've got to stand up and recognize that this agenda is not of God. And if it's not of God, we can have nothing to do with it. That's why it doesn't make sense. You cannot let everybody and anybody watch your child. Listen, and even if you are right now grappling with some of those things yourself, do not buy into the fact that that came from God. You've got to feed yourself according to what God gives you, according to what is right from God. Are y'all with me? Y'all, come on down here. Where do we stop? 28?
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind.
Yeah.
To do those things which are not fitting.
That's the dilemma. If we're not careful, if we're not on guard, watch. If you continue to give yourself to it, if you continue to let that thing permeate who you are, let that thing move, God will let you have what you go after. It's your choice. He says he gave them up to a reprobate mind, a debased mind. Where do these things come from? Where does this sickness come from? It came from you allowing your carnality, you allowing your reprobate to have more volume, more sound, more influence in your life than God does. Church, don't trip. Don't look at folk who struggle with these things and think something is wrong with them. No. All of us have some struggles in our life. I know some of y'all would say, they ain't ever had no issue like that. You got an issue, though. Are y'all with me? You got your thing. And just because your thing ain't on the stage don't mean that we talk. Look, matter of fact, keep reading with me. Come on. Verse number 29, Let me get it. You hold on. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. If that didn't get you, I don't know what's going to get you. But whatever it is, whatever you allow yourself to be leaned towards, that will be the thing that will turn you out.
Y'all didn't even like that.
Look, can I give you another passage? Come on to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I got to show you this one. 1 Corinthians 6. Oh, my goodness. What time is it? Oh, Lord of mercy. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Are y'all there?
Amen.
Wait for me. Hold on. 1 Corinthians 6. Brother Gillis, get verse number 9. That's what I want, I think. Yeah.
Brother goes to law against brother.
No. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse number 9,
Do you not know
that
the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators.
Stop. Hold on. Fornicators. You understand what that is? We've got to guard against these things. And I know y'all probably saying, is this lesson all about sex? Well, this is what we're talking about right now. But sexual activity, porneia, that's the word. Illicit sexual activity. Those things that are done outside of covenant God says that's not the kingdom agenda. Now, I'm telling you this because these are the things that bombard a family. We live in a world where people are taught that it's okay. We live in a world right now where, listen, individuals are actually told that they need to try themselves out before they say I do. Y'all ain't gonna help me? Some of us have been taught ourselves that you need to go ahead and sow your wild oats. Some of us have been taught, well, how do you know if you're gonna be compatible? If you all hadn't. That's not the agenda of God. This is not the agenda of God. And if we want the family to be like God gave it, we cannot let these influences, these agendas, affect what is real and what is authentic and what is from the Word of God. Amen. Don't be deceived. Fornicators, read.
Neither fornicators, neither idolaters,
yeah,
nor adulterers, nor homosexuals,
yeah,
nor sodomites, nor thieves.
Stop. I just want to put it back in there. Again, these things affect, and he goes on to say, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then watch what he says in verse number 11. Here's your hope. And such were some of you. Are y'all seeing this? The hope is that wherever you are, know this, God has the power to make that a such were some of you. Not a such us. Are y'all with me? God allows that thing to be something that he can get you out of. Don't ever get to a place where you start saying, there's no hope for me. That's another lie. If you believe there's no hope for you, you will let yourself go into doing the wrong thing. You'll throw your hands up and say, well, I'm going to hell anyway, so I might as well. And that's not of God. Are y'all with me? The agendas that come against who we are, these unnatural agendas, these things that are out of the bounds of passion, promiscuity, and then this whole idea, and I know I've already said it, living as husband and wife, but not being husband and wife. These are the agendas that are constantly attacking the family. These are the things that God is defending against. These are the things that Moses is defending against. We cannot buy into the thought. I don't even know where it originated, but we cannot buy into the thought that it's okay to function outside of covenant as if you are in covenant. Y'all know how subtle the devil is? See, you know some of the stuff he does. He will allow a man to philosophize his way. Y'all know how we philosophize.
That's true. That's true.
And allow a woman to listen to that philosophy. When really the only thing talking between the both of them is the flesh. Y'all be honest with me now. Y'all know that when there's something that you really want to do, You'll go through the motions of talking about it, but the thing that has the last say is your flesh anyway. You'll mess around and you'll be like, well, you know, I'm saying, who really did the first marriage anyway? I'm saying, I love you, you love me, you know what I mean? I ain't going nowhere, you ain't going nowhere, we in this thing forever, you know what I'm saying? So we might as well. Ain't nobody going to ever... We'll just go through those motions and she'll sit there and look at you and you'll sit there and look at her. I love you, you love me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Really, really, Adam and Eve didn't go through no marriage ceremony. I'm saying, Adam and Eve didn't go through no marriage. Adam didn't have no ring for Eve. And we'll talk ourselves right into an agenda that didn't come from God. Are y'all seeing this? And we've got to be careful that we don't let the carnality and the reprobate speak louder than the will of God. God says, I want them to leave father and mother and cleave together as one. I want them to be under the authority of who I am before they come together with who they will be. God has to be in the union. If God is not in the union, there ought not be union. Amen. Say amen now. These agendas come against what the family looks like. And these are the things that Moses is defending against. These are the things that Moses is coming in a writing in defense of. But you also have to appreciate the perspective of design. Moses writes from a perspective of defense, but he also writes from a perspective of design. Come on back to Genesis. Genesis. Y'all still got time for this?
Yeah.
Amen. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. And I got to give you this because this really blesses our singles. Amen. And it also blesses our marriage in the sense that we get to see where the problem really is. Amen. See, one of the dilemmas in marriage is that you end up putting the emphasis on the wrong thing. We look at the symptom. We look at the frustration in the marriage. And we make the physical outburst the thing. And that ain't the thing. The thing always goes back to, is God here? Are y'all with me? And this is a surface point, but don't miss the magnitude of it. Don't miss the magnitude of it. I'm talking about a perspective of design. Genesis chapter 2, are y'all there?
Yes.
Okay, wait for me, hold on. Mm-hmm. Genesis 2 and verse number 4. Are y'all there?
This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens.
Yeah.
Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and mm-hmm. before any herb of the field had grown.
Yeah.
For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth.
Read.
And there was no man to till the ground.
Uh-huh.
But a mist went up from the earth
yeah.
and watered the whole face of the ground.
Yeah.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
Yeah.
And man became a living being.
Amen. That was it right there. Verse number 7. The design of God, the perspective of design is that if a man is going to be a husband, he needs to be a God-made man. Y'all are missing that. You don't invest, our single sisters, don't you invest in a man if he's not a God-made man. Are y'all seeing this? Any man who's going to be the head of his house, if he's going to do it and bring God glory, he needs to be a God-made man. I know some of y'all are reading this, looking at just the formation, but don't miss the fact that it's God that fashioned that man. God that formed that man. God that breathed in that man. God that raised that man. God made him a living soul. The problem with marriage today is that you've got too many individuals that have no God in them and are ending up putting themselves together disconnected from he that can keep a marriage together. If God ain't in it, it won't last anyway. You got man and woman putting it, trying to do their dead level best to make this thing happen. The only way marriage will be glorifying, marriage will be successful, marriage will be benevolent, marriage will be beneficial is if God is involved in the relationship. If God didn't make that man, no wonder he doesn't get you. Oh, amen, amen. No wonder he has no passion. No wonder he has no mercy. No wonder he has no loving spirit, because God isn't involved. And ladies, my sisters, amen, don't lower your standards just because you get frustrated. One of the things we do, we start putting a timeline. Amen. And God didn't put the timeline there. Do you not know that waiting on God does some tremendous things? Number one, it will bless you for God to do some things with you that maybe you don't even see need to be done to you. Are y'all seeing this? God is still refining. He's still shaping. He's still molding. Don't you rush God, because when God starts doing things, doesn't he do everything well? When God finishes something, doesn't he always step back, give dap to the Holy Spirit and God the Son and say, that right there is good. Don't rush God. Don't make God go beyond. Don't make God fit in your timetable. You wait on the Lord. You let him fashion that man. You let him form that man. You let him put the hair, amen, on his head, right? Amen. You let God do all of those things. Let God breathe into him, because when God gets through with him, that's going to be a good man that he, amen. So God made man, but then not only that, brothers, amen. God made woman. See, the text goes on and describes the fact that the man, that wasn't nothing suitable for him. God said, it ain't good. Boy, it ain't good for you to be by yourself. I know that's Brother Thomas's translation. Ooh, I can't leave you by yourself. You run around this garden just going crazy, whatever. It's not good. Mess around, try to walk on water. It's too early for that. He said, go to sleep. Take a nap. There's something beautiful about sleep. We're going to leave that alone, though. He laid man down. Are y'all seeing this? The first surgery. First anesthesiologist put man to sleep, and out of the rib. See, he didn't even make her like he made him. Are y'all seeing this? See, y'all act like you didn't hear this next week when I talk about it. When he made the man, he made him out of the earth. He made him from the rough. Made him hard. Are y'all seeing this? Made him from the soil. Are y'all seeing this? That's how I know man ain't supposed to be soft. Because God made you from the earth. Are y'all with me? Made him from the roughness. Made him from that which pushes up stuff. Made him from that which produces. He made man from the earth. For the earth. Man is supposed to work the ground that he... that he came from. He made man to be industrious. He made man to be a doer. He made man to be a worker. He made man to produce some fruit. Any man that's not producing, any man that's not working, any man that's not pushing some stuff up, any man that's not giving back to that which God brought him out of, ain't a man made from God. Amen. He might be a mama made man. Y'all didn't like that? Y'all didn't like that? Nah, that's cool. That's cool. But when he made the woman, he didn't make that woman like the man. He took her from the real. And he didn't form her. He made her. Two different words. He didn't form her. He made her. He took the real. That which guards the soft parts. That which protects the vitality of the man. Are y'all saying this? That which covers. That which is inside. That which is soft. He formed the woman. Are y'all saying this? Woman ain't even supposed to be like a man. She is the relational component to this economy. Y'all seeing this? She's that which is always sensitive to what causes life. She's that which carries the womb. That's why she's called woman. The man with the womb. Oh, Lord of mercy. He made her in such a way to where she is suitable. She helps. She's the yin to his yang. She's that which was missing. She's that which makes him complete. She's that which he cannot be by himself. She's that which makes him get up from a long sleep and say, whoa! Man, look at her. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, Daddy, what you do? You know what I'm going to call her? He got so happy that he broke into poetry. Y'all know that's the first poem in the Bible? She's bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh. I'm going to call her. Whoa! Man, man, man. she's a God-made woman. Are y'all seeing it? She doesn't mind being his helpmeet. She doesn't mind helping him to meet his purpose. She doesn't mind bringing him to another level by encouraging. Are y'all seeing this? By supporting. By being that which he lacks. He ought not be emasculated in his home when he has to fight like crazy in the world. She's a God-made woman. Look, let me let y'all go. When you get a God-made man and a God-made woman, you have a God-made home. When God is involved in all of that, that home will be fruitful. That home is the kind of home where God will come and walk with you in the cool of the day. He'll have a regular routine of meeting up with you. Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? It's time for me to be here with you. He looks to be with you because he made you and he made her. He'll look to spend time with you. He will look to be there and let the whole garden be blessed because it's the three of you functioning as one. For this cause, man ought to leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. We'll finish this up next week. We'll keep going next week. Amen. Making y'all no promises. The lesson is yours. The lesson is yours. We have began this study with the first family in 3D. We've looked at Moses' perspective, a perspective of defense, a perspective of design, and a perspective of destiny. I don't know where you are in your family, but I do know that the family is under attack. You know, now's a good time just to admit that your home needs repair. Now's a good time for us to just be honest and say, you know what, church, pray for me. Pray that I will be the God-made man that I'm supposed to be. Pray that I'll be the God-made woman. Are y'all seeing this? Pray that I'll be those God-made children so that God will be glorified in all of what we do. God wants that. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to be benevolent in our world so that the world can get a good picture of what he looks like. And they get it through the family. Wherever you are, you ought to come. If you need repair, if you need prayer, you ought to come. If you have yet to say yes to the Lord, if you are not a member of the Normandy Church of Christ, you ought to be. God wants you to be. God wants you to be saved even right now. You come by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing him as your Lord, and even today, be baptized in water for the remission of sins, his spirit, and entrance into the kingdom. Whatever you need to do, come on. Come on right now as we together.